We are back. We are taking your questions here on Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. It is open lines. We're talking to Jim Penniston of the Rendlesham Incident. His new book coming out soon, The Rendlesham Enigma, 4 years in the making. That's pretty special, as well as the second one coming out after that. And as I had said, he had given me three of the chapters. And that third chapter, I mean, I was just engulfed in it. I truly was exhausted. I wanted it to be over. And as it was still, you know, as the chapter was still going on, the craft had kind of backed up, I guess, or went back into the woods slowly, moving to where Jim even said that he could walk right with it. That's the speed it was going. But, I mean, I was ready for it to leave. When does somebody want some really cool experience like that to be over? But I was exhausted from it. So I was right there with him for sure. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the book coming out there, Jim, and then the other ones. There's just so much going on from that. So So the guy that was with you, Burroughs, what about him? What's going on with him? Does he tell the same story you tell? Are you guys buds? Or do you guys hang out? What about that?
No, I haven't talked to him about 4 or 5 years. About 5 years ago, it was after the citizens hearing, and he wanted to pursue the Condon report, not to be confused with the Condon report from Colorado, the one from the UK. It's a low-level document, UK restricted, which is like for official use only, something like that. And anyway, he wanted to pursue that. And I said, no, the answers lay definitely within the binary code. And I'm going to pursue that. And, it was an amicable, party of, where we're going to go. And I just, that's about how it left.
Did he ever get regressed? I mean, it sounded like when you described him in the book, it sounded like he was, I love Dr. David M. Jacobs. I love his work. Yes. I absolutely love it, right? And he talks about how abductees are frozen. They're just there, zombie-like. And you actually describe Burroughs the same way.
Well, it could be anything. I don't know. I mean, it could have been fright. It could have been, I don't know. I know this. I know he had three regressions, but they're done with UFO people doing them. And those are tainted right off the bat because of the power suggestion and guidance, which way
I wouldn't agree with that with Jacobs. But you don't know Jacobs.
Yeah, I do. And
you
he
do.
Did not do, he didn't do Burroughs hypnosis.
Right. Yeah. I don't know that, but I would love it if he, you would probably think of him as a UFO guy too. I would think, maybe not.
I don't know. I guess so. I never really thought of it.
Yeah, I just love his work. I don't think he leads, but you said that Burroughs.
No, I
was
think
regressed.
Well, I'm just I went to a doctor, so yeah, I don't know. That wasn't her agenda, at all. She didn't.
I wish she knew enough though about it to maybe go into that area. Maybe she could have found out a little more if she would have even known about that kind of stuff.
Well, the hypnosis regression, the 4 hours, is details for sure.
The difference is
between me and John. His accounting is from his hypnosis. Mine's from memory.
I thought you were regressed.
Yeah, but I actually remember what happened out there.
So everything that's in the transcripts, you remember every bit of that too?
I remembered it, yeah, before I had that done, yeah.
Oh, okay. You had just blocked it out for a while, tried not to think about it?
Yeah, I think it's a natural tendency for a a person to suppress those type of things, along with other things that I had to suppress, you know, in the Air Force. I mean, to get your job done at the time. Aircraft crashes are one of them. I mean, they're just,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, to say you don't remember all that stuff, it's you do.
Right, right. Was that Desert Storm?
No, I tell you what, we had planes were crashing all the time, like A-10s, even at Bentwaters. So I don't know how many we had crash. You know, they'd do a maneuver or something like that. They you know, and they'd bury that plane right in the ground, like 20 feet. Yeah, some are, you know, that's why we had the helicopter squadron there, the air rescue. If they had to dump over the North Sea or something, you know, to rescue the pilots, you know, stuff happens, you know, and everyday work in the Air Force is a dangerous occupation just by nature, you know.
Right, right. Wildcard line number 4, Jerry out of Arkansas. Hi there, Jerry. Welcome to Coast. How are you?
Hey, Connie. I'm great. Hey, Jim. If you've answered this, I apologize. I've been in and out of my truck tonight and might have missed it. But did you ever have the binary code looked at by somebody that knows computers to figure out what the code meant?
Yeah, the original one was done by five separate people. Professor down in Australia, a professor in, I believe, in North Carolina. Then we had a binary expert from Colorado do it. Then we had another one from Los Angeles. Yeah, they were all independently examined, and they came up with exactly the same thing.
Which was?
Oh, it has somewhat of a message, and plus it has the 7 coordinates that were given.
And once again, what was that message?
It's doggone. It tells the date of origin, and which is 8100. It tells eyes of your eyes, whatever that means. Continues for planetary advance. Exploration.
Expiration?
Mm-hmm.
Of Earth?
Yeah. And you said earlier, you know, about maybe, you know, dimensional beings from future or whatever. You know, why would they give the, you know, some of the questions I have, like, why would they give the information in English? Yeah.
Ah, okay. So you're gonna kind of hold back some of this info too, right? For a while, I'm trying to pull it out of you.
No, it's not about holding it back. It's just
no.
It's about organization, so you can be presented, you know, in correctly, and because we don't want any more misinformation coming out or something that if I misspeak on it or something like that, it's not correct. I just want to have it correct, and that's why we're put it in a second book. The first book is called a subtitle on the Rendlesham Enigma is called Timeline, and of course we're going to do book 2. We haven't made a title for it, but we will. It'll be a continuation of the findings of the binary.
Wow. Okay. All right. So that would have a message of Earth, for Earth.
It seems like that.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Bill out of west of the Rockies, out of Seattle. Hi there, Bill. Welcome to Coast. Okay, we're going to go to, Tim out of Sheldon, Washington. Let's do that. Hey there, Tim. Welcome to Coast.
How are you?
Hi.
Interesting stories. I love them. And I was thinking about Albany, Oregon. I was traveling on I-5 in the evening, just going south of Salem. and I saw this water tower off the side of the road, and I measured it by telephone poles, about like four telephone poles to the left and three telephone poles high. And it had, well, I thought it was just a new water tower that somebody was building, and it had lights top and bottom and then around the horizontal perimeter. And so the closer I got to it, we see that it's not standing on anything. There's no legs. This thing is hovering there. Yeah, cars are stopped all along I-5. Lights are, you see rows of cars. People are out on the freeway. And then it does a pattern on I-5 that goes at the same altitude, but goes a triangular pattern across I-5 and then wound up going by us on our right side then, and then crosses over and does a holding pattern just like the first one, but further south. And so cars were all over. So years later, I'm describing this in 2003 in Montana, and this girl comes up to us and she's, "Oh man, I can't believe that you saw that." Is that that's where I'm from, Albany. And I said, "How can you stand the stench, the sulfur stench? Albany just stunk so bad. Yeah, I had to hold my breath going through Albany." So we're thinking there, this thing is there for politics, and not, no way, I don't think so, in Salem, or for that, some kind of chemical, or they're wondering, why is that chemical, what's mankind doing here with all of this sulfur? All right, so this thing, if it's been measured for weeks upon weeks being around that area, it might be worthwhile to research it, and that's the reason I was thinking about it. It happened about around the early 70s, 73 sometime. But they said that, she said that people were seeing it for weeks around the area.
Thank you, Tim, for that call. So what do you think about these types of things that, Jim, that, I mean, there's so many sightings that people cannot just figure out when they're taking left turns and right turns, and there's no explanations for these. What do you think of all this? Do you think there's more happening or something else in the sky that is with the Air Force or somebody else?
Well, what I look for personally when I do a lecture or a conference is I look for the Q&A, because what I'm looking for is certain signatures that are with Rendlesham, and if they tie in, they get my interest right away. And so that's what I look for at the Q&As. And then also, you know, every once in a while I hear, an accounting by somebody, and, I'm fascinated by it, you know. Even though it might not be related in any way, shape, or form to Rendlesham, it's like, well, there's activity going on, and it seems to be unabated. You know, it's just it just never stops. So there's something going on. I don't know. I don't want to guess. I mean, as far as the Air Force, yeah, you know, a lot of them are. You know, prototype planes that are out of Skunk Works and that. The other thing is a lot of the activity is the Southwest United States and, you know, Creech Air Force Station. That's where they have our drones out of. I mean, the U.S. Marshals Service, the Immigration Service. We also have NATO forces that are getting trained. And, you know, I think they're doing like 40 or 50,000 missions a year. So sometimes, you know, people don't know what they're looking at. And then, of course, there's sometimes you come across the unknown. And
Yeah, now those drones are everywhere. I mean, oh, my gosh, after Christmas, you just saw all these lights in the sky just roaming around all over the place, up and down and then on their balconies.
Yeah, Connie, it's going to get worse, too. I mean,
yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's hard to discern, you know. And then, of course, you know, there's just the bona fide cases that are unknown. You know, that's just the way it works.
Yeah, yeah. Peter, east of the Rockies, out of Palisade, Minnesota. Welcome to Coast to Coast, Peter. How are you? Thanks for hanging in there, too.
Yeah, Jim, really interesting. It's not your book. I'd like to look it up. I'd like to get the spelling of your last name before we're done here, and also the spelling of Rendleson. But my question is, I was thinking about the forest where this thing had landed, you know, and just, you know, why it was there. And I think I read somewhere that pine contains pine pitch, and I think they liberate uranium from pine pitch. And you had said that there was some radioactivity measured in the area. And I wonder, you know, I mean, if these things are so technologically advanced, if they are able to process the pitch out of wood, you know, just instantaneously, and to power up their ship, you know. And I was wondering, did you have any when you returned back or were done looking at it, did you have any like powder on your boots or ash or anything like that? Was there pine in the area?
Well, yeah, all the trees are, I think, Corsican pines, I believe they are. I'm not really sure they're what type of pines. But, in the chapter that Monroe Nevels writes, he talks about the pine needles in there. And I don't want to speak for him because I don't want to, you know, give any bad information. But he actually did some observation testing out there, and we'll have to leave it like that.
Yeah, thank you for that question. Yeah, that was wouldn't have even thought about that kind of thing. I like the way that you really do hold back on telling what other people think or what they have experienced, because I know, I can tell that you just want this straight story out there. And not putting words into anybody's mouth. And sometimes that doesn't always happen.
Well, it's about time that happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I'm so glad you are doing that. So if you're just now tuning in, you're listening to Coast AM. Connie Willis here along with Jim Penniston, and that is Penniston. For our last caller, Peter, and also Rendlesham, I've heard it all, Rendlesham. Connie Willis here, along with Jim. More to come, and open lines continue here on Coast to Coast AM. The most listened to overnight radio program in North America, Coast to Coast AM. Connie here, and thanking Coast to Coast for also letting me share my Bigfoot Friday, Bigfoot in the Rockies video on our site. I did a little Where's Willis? Well, I'm out there in the Rockies along with a group, a couple called Sasquatch Journey. They go out. They've got this great hot spot out there in the Rockies. Said, Connie, come along. We listen to you. And I got to go in less than 7 hours. We saw structures, glyphs, footprints, three sets of huge footprints in the snow. Amazing stuff. Saw more in that day than people see in decades of looking. It was quite amazing. I hope you get to check it out too. It's Bigfoot in the Rockies from my Bigfoot Friday from my Blue Rock Talk YouTube channel. So did you get all that? And if you go there and you become a Blue Rocker, well, you'll be in the know. So thank you very much for those of you that put that in there for me. We have the best web guys in the world. So while you're checking that out and learning where to go, check out all the other stuff we have in there. The shows for next week, for tomorrow, past information, all sorts of other documentaries and features that are going on around in the world of the paranormal, alternative health, so on and so forth. Such great material. So proud to be a part of the team. CoastToCoastAM.com. Check it out yourself. Coast to Coast AM with Connie Willis and Open Lines as well. We are talking with Jim Penniston of the Rendlesham Incident. His new book coming out, The Rendlesham enigma. And I think we've got the Rendlesham down tonight. So, Jim, do you like to be called James or Jim?
Oh, I go by Jim. I mean, unless James, I have to sign my name that way. But otherwise, it's Jim.
Okay. I was hoping I wasn't saying it wrong the whole time. I thought, well, you've just been very cordial to me to letting me do that. So that's good. So we got a lot of calls coming in. Our last segment here. So let me grab up. I know what this guy's going to ask. I'm really excited about this. Wild card line number four, Bob out of New Jersey. Hi there, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm looking forward to your question.
I wanted to ask, you've mentioned a couple of times seven sets of coordinates. Can you give us the seven locations on Earth?
Yes. What's interesting is one of them is mentioned twice, okay? So one's off the coast of Ireland near the mythical area of High Brazil. The other one's off at Sedona, Arizona. The other one is off of Belize area. The other one is in Peru. The other one is the Temple of Apollo in Greek island and Nazca. And then we have one at Giza, and then we have one in the middle of China.
Interesting. And that's what popped up. Great question, Bob. Thank you very much. That's what popped up. It wasn't like forced into those areas. That's what the message came out. That's what the code was.
Yeah, I mean, what's amazing is, because I even when the code was, I wasn't going to release the code because I thought it was my temporary insanity. But we were doing a film shoot down in Phoenix for Ancient Aliens. They love this stuff. they do. And we're doing a film shoot, and I was there with Linda Moulton Howe and John Burroughs. And I was in a break, you know, during the filming. I was still sitting in the chair. And John asked me about a date. And so I'm flipping through the notebook looking for a date. And I went back too far because I hadn't stuck the binary, insanity was in the back of the book. And I flipped it open, and the first page of the binary came up, and everybody was, like, all over me on Linda and John. And they said, my God. And Linda says, well, that's binary code. And I said, what? Oh, I says, that was mentioned in the hypnosis. You know, I didn't know what I didn't know what it meant. And they wanted to bring it forward, and I was hesitant about it. And I said, well, give me a few days with it, and let me think when I return back to, the Chicago area. I got a call from the producer, Kim Sharon, from Ancient Aliens. She works for Prometheus Pictures. And she says, is there any way we can get copies of, a few pages of that? And I said, sure. And they said, we're going to, decipher it. And I said, well, I think you're wasting your time. And she said, well, it's not going to hurt. And I said, okay. And so I scanned them and I sent them to her. And then about 2 days later, she says, I want you to come up online, and we did a video call on and I says, well, what's the deal? She says, there's a message. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, no way there's a message. And she said, no, there's a message there. And that's what they deciphered. And I said, okay. And they went back and they told me the message. And then I sent, I had Linda asking about the pages relentlessly for like 4 or 5 days. And I finally said, okay, so the number of pages I gave Prometheus, I faxed to her, I scanned to her, and she ran them down to a professor in Australia and then the North Carolina one. And also, I believe the Colorado. Oh, no, I did the Colorado one. Okay. And like a week later, I get a call from Linda saying, oh, my God, she says, it says something. I said, okay. I said, what does it say? And she told me exactly what the person that Prometheus had tasked to do that.
Interesting.
I said, oh, okay. And she says, you don't seem surprised. I said, well, I just wanted the confirmation. I said, Prometheus already ran it. And so, you know, it's exactly what you're saying. And she wasn't happy that I ran it to Prometheus, but, you know, I want an independent look at it. I mean, I actually thought it was just going to be rubbish. Hey, I wrote it on a table at 2 a.m. or whatever. And yeah, I mean, like, all I was worried about was, you know, ending my career.
I saw that on the bathroom wall somewhere at one point.
I wanted to keep it quiet, you know. And the other thing is, I really got pressured by them to release it in an Ancient Aliens episode, and I just finally said, okay, I'm gonna put it in the book, so might as well, because
okay, so
yeah,
so it gives us coordinates, and it gives us messages of beginning to end of Earth.
Pardon?
It gave us 7 coordinates.
Yes.
And then it gave us the origin of Earth and the end of Earth?
No, it gave the origin, the date of origin. I mean, I guess you can interpret it any way you want. It was 8100. It ties into the research discoveries we had, though, have discovered already. I should say Gary Osborne discovered them. It's game changing. Yes.
That's for sure. That is totally for sure. Wayne out of wild card line number 5, Tacoma, Washington. Hi there, Wayne. Thanks for hanging in there with us. Do you have a question?
Good evening, Connie and Jim. Yeah, this is one of the two similar stories that I've heard on the craft itself. The other one being Dr. Jonathan Reed from October 15, 1996, I believe it was, and it was shown on Art Bell Show, or told about on Art Bell Show, August 23rd. I'm going to reverse that, August 23rd. 1996, and told about October 15th, 1998 on his show. The only difference being that the craft that he saw was after the creature that was out of the craft had killed his dog, and he shot the creature, and he found the craft later hovering over the ground, but almost an identical craft. He described it as black granite and hovering a few feet off the ground. But it's a fascinating, fascinating story. And you can get those tapes and listen to them. I think you find it well worthwhile.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate that. Yeah, it is very similar to what you had described. And by the way, Wayne had an excellent radio voice, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Man.
I'll tell you what, I went public after I got out of the Air Force in November 93. So, you know, that's when I went public with it.
You know, it sounds to me, it's kind of, I get the vision of something that, like Batman would have, you know, that black, sleek glass that you're talking about. It always seems like, you know, Batman always had really cool types of devices and machines, and just sounded really slick like Batman.
I'd like to have a piece of it.
I wish you had a piece of it too, and you'd share it all with all of us here. This would be great.
Right, absolutely.
But you know what? When you said, "Hey, you know, it was kind of maybe something in the future, human coming back kind of thing, because it had a tail and things like that." Well, wouldn't maybe that's just what is needed out there in that type of flying in general, even if it's somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, but there's stuff with that, with the technology, you know, that, you know, I don't know if they'll ever be able to reproduce it, even in the future. I mean, when that craft took off, I mean, there was no air displacement, none.
Wow. If you could go back and change that day, would you, that night?
Yeah, I think I would have volunteered for another shift.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really? What? How do you think your life would be right now if that didn't happen to you?
100% better. I tell you what, I've struggled with this. I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
So.
Anybody that's involved that says they don't have trauma or PTSD from it, I don't know where they were at if they don't have that. They weren't there with me. You know what I mean? They got to have that. It was traumatic. Mainly because I didn't know what I was encountering. A lot of things going. And I also, besides that, I also had to deal with, you know, the interrogations. You know, my God, I mean, I was getting from a lot of sources there, the trauma. So
I could imagine, and I know now as well. You have to deal with the lighthouse and all these other skeptics along the way.
Oh yeah, I mean that stuff's ridiculous. So I don't even. You know what? They can go on and on about that stuff. I don't care. Yeah.
Well, Sergeant Jim Penniston of the Rendlesham Incident, a book coming out here soon called Rendlesham Enigma. Any last things that you would like to say, Jim?
Well, that myself and my co-author are speaking first week in June in the Pennsylvania MUFON. It's North Philadelphia, I believe. And then we're going to be doing a total full disclosure, Gary and I, at the StarWorks conference first week in November in Laughlin, Nevada. So I hopefully see some of the listeners there, and we can have one really good Q&A.
Well, I thank you for showing up tonight, being here with me, and telling us all these great stories. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Connie. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Same here. Thank you. Jim Penniston and everybody of the Rendlesham Incident. And I want to thank all you guys out there as well for tuning in. It's great to hear from Jim. We were going to hear from him before, and something happened to where he came in later. So I'm good. The timing of it was perfect. I really, really had a good time with him, and he stayed the entire time with us tonight. He didn't think he could make it, but he went past it and had a good time, and that was great. We were just thinking 2 hours, so thank all of you guys for calling in as well, tuning in with me tonight. Appreciate that. Hope you enjoyed the show as much as me, and if you did enjoy the show, please write in here to Coast AM and let us know. So from the KOA News Radio Studios of iHeartMedia in Denver, many thanks going out to all of you guys. You've been great for me here as well, because I was able to go out into the Rockies while I was here and hang out with Sasquatch Journey, who showed me all these incredible structures that these beings are known to build. Blinds, maybe to portals, maybe for to corral their prey, what they're going to eat, to get them into the corner and trap them. I mean, all sorts of neat things. So I hope that you go check out my video there, Bigfoot in the Rockies, on my YouTube channel, Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. I think you guys are going to enjoy that. It's really fun. Not sure when I'll be back here again, but I'm sure it's going to be soon. I love when I come out here. It's been so wonderful. You guys have supported me. It's been over 4 years now that I've been with Coast to Coast. Been fun getting to know everybody, to go out to the different events and get your support as well in person. So thank you for that. And finding me in other places along the way that I don't know how you guys could do that, but you did. As you know, I like to pull the pieces of the puzzle together of all the different genres and try to put it together to see how does it fit? How does it relate? Do they relate? And I think they do relate. In fact, when Jim was talking about what he had experienced with when he was right there next to the craft, that it was quiet. He didn't even hear his own footsteps crunching in the forest. Well, that's what people experience in the ghost world as well as the Bigfoot world, and those that astral travel and remote view. So interesting stuff. So once again, from the KOA News Radio Studios of iHeartMedia in Denver, many thanks going out to Julie Talbot, Bill May, Lisa Lyon, Dan Galante, Chris Burles, Stephanie Smith, Tommy Danheiser, Lex Lonehood, Greg Bishop, Sean LeDesueur, Tim Banal, Gina Savalti, Tricia Pepe, Donna Walker, George Knapp, Greg Foster, Mike Wolf, Angie Sillo, and of course, George Norrie as well. I want to thank you again. Join me on my YouTube channel, Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. And until we meet again, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange. There's a lot of it. And also to uncover the unknown. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis. Have a good night.